Yo, it's your man Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and welcome to Radio. It's your man Mo Morris, the One Man Army. What's up? It's your man Mo Morris, the One Man Army. What's up? It's your man Mo Morris, the One Man Army. What's up? And if you ask me how I do, I'm gonna tell you I'm winning just like you. If you ask me how I do, I'm going to tell you I'm winning just like you. And if you ask me how I do, I'm going to tell you I'm winning just like you. Because we win it, family. That's why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I believe it. I'm not saying it because we just out here kicking the bobos trying to fill up some space. No, family. I believe I'm a winner, family. And if I believe I'm a winner, I believe you're a winner, family. When I tell you I'm winning, that means I mean that. I'm not cracking jokes, family. I mean it. I'm winning. And when I tell you I'm winning just like you, family, I'm telling you, you winning. But see, a lot of people don't believe they winning out here, family. No, because they looking at their life based on how the news talking. They looking at their life based on how the politician is treating them. They looking at their life based on the money they got or the money they don't got. They looking at their life based on the house they got. They looking at their life based on how the car they got. Or the bus stop they standing on. That's how they looking at their life. They looking at their life based on how their relationship going. That's how they looking at their life. If you walking around here and you don't believe you winning, family, you need to get in the mirror. If you don't believe you winning and you breathing, then you got this game totally messed up, family. You don't got an understanding of what victory is, family. If you living and breathing and you don't believe that you winning, family, you need to look in the mirror. It's just that simple. Today I was thinking about something, family. Family, I was thinking about how my mother raised me, G. You know, I can say a lot of things about my mama. You know, my mama is a rare bird, man. Let me tell you. My mother will look you in the face and tell you that she was an L7 growing up. My mother would look you in the face and tell you that she's a square. I'm talking about to this day, my mother will look you in the face and say, I'm lame. My mother will look you in the face and tell you I'm a square. That's what my mama believe about herself. But like I've said before, she ain't raised no square. She ain't raised no L7. I tell you that. So my mama not an L7. It's just how she view herself. Because you can't be an L7 and raise Mo Morris. That ain't what's up. That ain't even going together. But see, it's how my mother views herself, but that's not how she carries herself. You understand me? See, my mother was up at my school every Monday checking with my teachers. You understand me? My mother took me to church every Sunday. You understand me? My mother made sure I did my homework every night and she checked it. You understand me? My mother was a hardworking woman. My mama went to work every day. You understand me? My mama wasn't no L7. My mama wasn't soft. But it's how she viewed herself. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so it's important how you view yourself. It's important how you view yourself. The way you view yourself impacts how you perform. The way you view yourself impacts how you believe you're going to perform. You understand what I'm saying? The way you view yourself is how you feel society is going to view you. It's how you feel others are going to view you. Because if you're looking at yourself a certain way, there's no way in the world you can expect somebody to look at you differently. And it don't even matter how they look at you, because if you're looking at yourself a certain way, that's how you're going to believe in yourself. That's how you're going to carry yourself. Period. Without question, that's exactly what's going to happen, because it's the way you view yourself. The way you view yourself is the beginning of you. The way you view yourself. The way you view yourself is going to be your expectations about your success or lack thereof. If you're not successful, you're not successful because you don't believe you could be successful. You're not successful because you made decisions that led to you being unsuccessful. And the only reason you made those unsuccessful decisions is because you didn't believe you were a success. So you dropped out of school because you didn't feel that you were worthy to graduate. You didn't think you were smart enough to graduate. So you dropped out of school. When all along, I don't care if your mama smoked crack. I don't care if your daddy was the invisible man. Your education is your responsibility. If you can't read good, you could have took your neck into a room full of teachers. You was going to school every day. There was somebody in that building that could have helped you. There was some program in that system that could have helped you. But you didn't believe you was worthy of that help, so you dropped out. So everything that come with dropping out, you created in your life based on how you viewed yourself. It didn't have nothing to do with the white man. It didn't have nothing to do with a bogus society. Hey, black folks, let me tell y'all something, family. Black folks been against the gun since day one. You understand me? But I'm studying history. Like, I can't think of the sister's name, but she's the first black female neurosurgeon. I can't think of sister's name. I'm going to bring it up because I'm going to do a story on her. Sister is the first black neurosurgeon. Wow. And the girl almost dropped out of college because she lacked self-esteem. Now, can you hear me when I say that to you, family? Can you hear me when I say that to you, family? I'm talking about a sister. You understand me? I'm talking about a sister, family. I'm talking about a sister. A sister, a black woman, look just like me and you, family. A black woman, first neurosurgeon in this country, first black female neurosurgeon. Was a black woman, of course. And she almost didn't make it, family, because she lacked self-esteem. She lacked self-esteem. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? This sister's name is Alexa Irene Canada. Canada. Miss Alexis Canada is the first black woman to be a neurosurgeon in this country. And she almost dropped out of college because she didn't believe she could do it. But the spirit of God or her mama or the dog, somebody got in her neck and made her go back to school. And that woman ended up becoming the first black female neurosurgeon in this country. And she at first didn't believe she can do it. But somebody challenged her. Somebody grabbed her. And she got her neck back up in that school. And she believed she could do it. She changed her viewpoint of herself. She changed how she looked at herself. And Miss Canada became the first black female neurosurgeon in this country. And she had a low point of self-esteem in her life. But when that sister changed her viewpoint, her life changed. But oh, by the way, family, while she was in school, while she was in medical school, while she was going through her internship at a hospital, one of the white administrators said that she was an equal opportunity package. You know, while we running around here talking about, well, we always got to face racism. Hey, black folks, if you climbing in America, you're going to have to face racism. Now, we just need to come on with this, family. We got to quit acting surprised that we living in a racist society. I'm not saying everybody's racist, but we live in a racist society. Hey, y'all, I don't know if you know this or not, but slavery took place in America. So if slavery took place in America, if slaves helped build America, that means we live in a racist country. Not saying the whole country is racist, but racism is a part of America, y'all. And we just need to accept that. And I'm not saying accept it like it's going to go home with you and sit down for Christmas dinner. But the last thing that we need to do as black people is to keep running around here acting like we surprised that it's racism in this country. It's time to grow up about that, y'all. It's time to grow up about that. It's time to grow up about the fact that you're going to face racism in this country. Yes, there's some good people in this country, but it's also some people who great-granddaddy didn't mind cutting my head off. It's also some people out here with great-grandfathers that would have lynched me on the spot. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, there was some grandfathers around here praying for their child and agreeing with Dr. King and praise God. It sure was. But it was also some great-grandfathers out here that was part of the lynch mob. And that's just what it is, y'all. Just like we got some brothers who are some good men, who taking care of their children, who out here going to school and doing everything they supposed to do. But we also got some brothers that was out here back in the day, that was out here shimming and shamming, being slick and slapping it on the dark side, this, that, and the third, busting nothing women, getting them pregnant and leaving them. That happened too. As society, family, that's the world we live in. But black folks, we got to quit running around here acting like we scared of racism. We got to quit walking around here like we scared of ourselves. We got to quit walking around here like we believe that we're not worthy to be successful. We got to move on down the road with that, family. I was raised that a closed mouth don't get fed, family. I was raised that a closed mouth doesn't get fed. A closed mouth doesn't get fed. What does that mean, family? If you hungry and you don't tell nobody you hungry, you won't eat. You understand me? If you are hungry and you don't tell somebody you are hungry, you won't eat. So let me make it plain and simple for you, family. Let me bring it to you right now, family. Let me put it in front of you right now, family. Let me bring it to your shoes right now, family. Let me put it in your lap right now, family. What we're saying is, if you need help and you don't ask for help, guess what? You ain't gonna get no help. Closed mouth don't get fed. If you are going through some hellish situations in your house, you're going through some form of abuse, whether it can be physical, verbal, or sexual. And if you don't say nothing and ask somebody to help you and to get you out of that situation, then you're going to stay in that situation, family. If you are a student and you are struggling in school and you don't ask a teacher, an administrator, a classmate for help, you are going to continue to struggle in school. If you sit quietly by and don't find and pursue and speak up for the change and the assistance and the help that you need in your life, you won't receive those things. Not because those things are not there for you, but because you did not open your mouth and ask. You did not go pursue help. You accepted no. You accepted that you black and we poor and we ain't got nothing in our schools and we ain't got nothing in our community, or I ain't got the money. You sat there and you believed that. You kept your mouth closed and you did not get the help and the support that you needed because you did not go get it. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that silence is consent. Silence is consent. You know, consent means to give permission to grant, to give. Consent. Consent, that means you will allow this to happen. You give permission for this to happen. So a lot of brothers and sisters who dropped out of school, they dropped out of school because they didn't ask for help. So they gave permission to failure. They granted failure access to their life. See, for you to fail, you have to invite failure. Just like you have to invite success. So when we choose not to speak up, what we are doing is we're giving permission for whatever to happen. That's good, bad, ugly, whatever. See, I'm going to pick my daughter up today. I'm going to pick my daughter and my grandson up today, and we're going to have a beautiful holiday weekend. Because I want my family with me. My daughter about to move back to Chicago, praise God. And this is Labor Day weekend. My daughter not about to be sitting up in her apartment with my grandson bored running around. No, it's the holidays. They coming down here with me. I asked her, did she want to come down? She said, yeah. She gave me permission to come pick her up. She granted me access to her and my grandson for the weekend. Why? Because she wanted to be around her father. Because she want her son around his grandfather. Because she knows she going to have a good time. Because she knows she going to be around love. She knows she going to get some knowledge. She knows she going to be safe. She knows she going to be protected. So what she's doing is she's granting permission to all those positive things to happen in her life because she opened her mouth and said, yeah, dad, come pick us up. She gave me permission. She gave me consent. Same thing can be said about the brothers and the sisters in the street. Same thing can be said about the brothers and the sisters in the street. Them brothers and sisters in the street, when it came to education, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. Hell, I ain't been reading good. I ain't gonna start reading good. I don't like math. I don't do math good. I don't like these teachers. They be telling me what to do. I ain't gonna be up in here with that, so I'm gonna drop out. I'm gonna drop out and I'm gonna get out on that street and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. So then I'm gonna turn into a criminal. I'm gonna break into black folks' houses. I'm gonna break into black folks' cars. I'm gonna beat black people up. I'm gonna rob black people. I'm gonna sell dope to black people. I'm gonna murder black people. They gave consent to failure. They gave consent to murder being in the life. They gave consent to danger becoming a part of life. They gave consent to anger and low self-esteem to be part of their life because they did not ask for help, because they did not go get help. So what they did was they felt that since they were not feeling successful over there because they didn't ask for help, because they didn't believe they could be successful. No one is going to walk away from success unless they don't believe they deserve success or unless they believe they can't be successful. They don't feel that academic education, they don't feel they worth that. They don't feel that they worth learning how to read and do math better and to work hard and to be patient and to go to class every day and to be respectful. No, I can't do that. So guess what, brother? Guess what, sister? If you don't believe you can do it, guess what? It won't get done. But in the meantime, you can go over here to the street and believe that you can be a thug, and believe that you can be ignorant, and believe that you can be the best blunt roller, and can't nobody smoke that good like you, and believe that you can get all the chicks you want, or believe that you can hustle any brother that you run into, and get this gang going, and then you part of the gang, so you meet this normal dude, and you set him up, and then the homies come rob them. This is what you chose to do with your life. This is what you give the consent to your life, because you did not believe that you can be successful. You know, and then everybody want to turn around and act like, man, you know, the white man. The white man. Yeah, you know what, family? You right. You right, family. The white man is in charge of things. Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. The white man got his voice in some things. He got his hands in some things. Most definitely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But you know what? He ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in your house. If your kids can't read, sister, that ain't the white man's fault. If your child can't read, brother, that ain't the white man's fault. What happened is you wasn't getting next to your child and hearing them read enough. And you got to own that. And you got to be honest about that. That ain't got nothing to do with no white man. The fact that these dudes posted up on our street corners and stand up all night and out in the street killing each other, that ain't got nothing to do with no white man. That ain't got nothing. I'm a black man. I've been a black male my whole life, family. I could have sold drugs. I could have had a pistol on me. I could have been wilding out. And I can sit up here and act like it's all me. No, it ain't all me, man. It's by the grace of God. It's by my grandmother's prayers. But you know what else, family? It's about my mindset towards my life and towards my future, family. Homie, I ain't grew up in the suburbs. Homie, I grew up at 1642 West 82nd Street. That's the south side of Chicago. And if you think it's sweet, go do it. And family, I could have made the same choices a lot of these homies made. At the end of the day, your life is your responsibility. Don't tell me nothing about no white man, and don't blame your mama, and don't tell me your daddy wasn't there. Because at the end of the day, 30 years ago, I was 17 years old, and I was feeling that pain, that frustration, and this, that, and the third. I get it. I get it. I understand. It's real talk. But family, at 47, if I'm sitting up there still talking about my daddy wasn't there, this, that, and the third, I need to check my damn self. When is your life going to become your responsibility, family? When is your life going to become your responsibility and you stop looking at everybody and foaming at the mouth and crying and doing this, that, and the third? When is that going to happen? When is that going to take place? When are you going to G up and say, this is my life. I don't give a damn if my daddy wasn't here and my mama drank every day. Damn it, I'm going to be successful. Well, how you going to do it? I don't know, but I know I'm about to go over here and talk to these teachers. I know I'm about to go over here and talk to this brother right now. I know I'm about to go talk to this individual. Homies, if you can stand up and listen to them niggas in the street, then you can have enough courage to go over there and ask that teacher, Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, hey man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling and I need your help. If you don't love your life enough to go somewhere and humble yourself and ask for help, then damn, do you really know what love is, family? Do you really know what love is, family? Do you really know what love is, family? If you're struggling with something when it comes to school, family, do you got enough courage to go ask somebody for help? If you can stand your ass up in the street and fight and kill and do this, that, and the third, then you need to have enough love and passion for yourself to go ask somebody for some help. You know your family might not be that much in the education, but you going to school every day. You walking into a building every day that's full of educators. And if it's about you getting your education together, if you believe in yourself enough to go to school, you doggone it, you can go ask somebody to help you. You can ask somebody to help you, family. You can ask somebody for help, family. You can ask somebody for help. And I know what I'm about to say is true. When you out there in that street, you ask 1,000 questions. And the reason you ask 1,000 questions is because you don't want to get caught slipping. Because if you come up short on that money, somebody going to bust you upside your head and give you a pumpkin head. That's why you ask all the questions. Because your life on the line. Because your health is on the line. Because if you come up short, you know it's going to be a price to pay. And I guarantee you ain't out in that street being disrespectful. I know you ain't out there talking to that big homie like you be back talking in class. Or you be back talking at the crib. I know you ain't doing that. I know you ain't doing that. You know why? Because you know the big homie will beat your ass. See, you ain't worried about that teacher putting their paws on you because you know they'll lose their job. And you know your mom and them, they older now, so you popping. But when you're looking at that demon in the street that's looking you straight in the face and you standing straight up and you looking him in the eyes and you ain't whispering when you talk to him, you know if you disrespect him, he'll stump your ass out. See, it's amazing how we respect violence. It's amazing how we respect violence. I respect violence. I embrace violence. I'm going to be honest with you. I embrace violence. I believe I'm from a neighborhood, man, where we ain't do a lot of talking, dog. We ain't do a lot of talking. And we wasn't, we wasn't no problem starters either, though. We ain't do a lot of talking, though, dog. We ain't do all that talking and bumping gums and, you know, muscle mouth and all that. No, dog, no. No, 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 no. The main thing in our neighborhood, well, what's up then, G? Well, what's up, nigga? Well, what's up then, man? Well, what's up? We don't do all this talking, man. What's up? If we can't come to an understanding, if we can't have no peace, and you just think you're going to keep running your mouth or woo-wopping the bam every time you see me, man, what's up? What's up? And if you ain't willing to meet the challenge of the what's up, and you ain't willing to put them paws up, close your mouth, man. Close your mouth. And what I'm saying is, you homies got all this respect for the street. It's all this respect for the street. And we got over a 50% dropout rate in our classrooms and in our students. Black folks have over a 50% dropout rate. And I'm sorry, y'all. I don't think it's cool that we got a 50% dropout rate. That means 1 out of 2 dropping out of high school. I was looking at one of the best high schools, one of the best black high schools here in my home, where I'm at in Macon, and the graduation rate at that school is 83%. 83%, G. That's one of the better high schools here in Macon, Georgia, and they have an 83% graduation rate. And a lot of y'all be like, oh man, that's good. How is 83% good? Hey, y'all, if we had the round to the nearest 10, that'd be 80. And you'd be like, well, man, more 8 out of 10 graduate. Why not 9 out of 10 graduating, G? Why not 9.5 graduating, family? Why we ain't got a 95% graduating rate, G? And I think they lying about them numbers. Man, I'm down here in Macon, Georgia, homie. These boys down here gangbanging, blood, crip, the whole 9, G. The whole 9, about 5 years ago, homie, I went to the superintendent of the school system. I went to him and I told him I was teaching in this system, G. I ain't running around here just running my mouth, homie. I'm in the war. I was teaching in the schools. And I told that man, I said, look, bruh, sir, I said, look here, man. I said, you got a gang problem that's growing on you that this city ain't ready for. And I told him, I said, you can have any program in the schools that you want. I said, but it's about the messenger, homie. You got to have a messenger that the kids will be willing to listen to. You can't have just anybody talking to these kids, man. Because these kids are living it. You understand what I'm saying? We got to understand what we up against, homie. See, I'm not afraid of my enemy. I learn my enemy. I pay attention to my enemy. I learn my enemy moves. Why? Because they my enemy. And my enemy is my enemy because my enemy wants to do harm to me. My enemy wants to hurt me. My enemy has shown that he will hurt me. My enemy has shown that he will mistreat me. So then I need to understand my enemy. I need to understand my enemy. See, my enemy in today's society makes good look wrong and makes wrong look good. My enemy pays other black males to rap and present this thug image and present all this jail and killing and murder to the young boys who they know are looking for a male to look up to. Because for the most part, not a lot of brothers are in their children's lives. And if they are, they weekend dads because of the baby mama drama or their lack of maturity. So what my enemy does is my enemy pays younger black men who got a gift, who got a talent to get on the mic. And some of them, the majority of them, lie and talk about like how they thugs and they out here pistol playing and they ain't doing none of that. But they sending off the other brothers. They sending off the brothers in the hood. They sending them off. So now they out here killing and running around here, this, that, and the third. And ain't nobody got nothing to say about it because silence is consent. Don't nobody want to say nothing about it because everybody running around with the mindset that snitches get stitches. Hey, damn it. I want you to know this. I ain't snitching right now, bros, sisters. I'm not snitching right now. What I'm doing is I'm refusing to be silent because I'm not consenting to this garbage. I'm not consenting to this garbage. Recently, I did a presentation on there's a classroom full of black males that can't read. How in the hell am I going to be quiet? And it's a classroom full of black males all across this country. There are classrooms full of black males that can't read. And the school system ain't doing nothing about it. But you know what the school system doing? They partnering with the jail system. They giving them the reading scores. And the jail system is building prison cells based on that. So they might not can help our boys. They will feed our boys. And they will make sure our boys ain't wilding out. But they are preparing our boys to either end up homeless and on drugs, to end up dead, or to end up in jail. Because everybody in the room know if you can't read, those are the three doors that you are walking in front of, family. Period. And I'm not about to sit up here and be silent about that. Because I'm not giving permission for that. Because it's not okay for me. And let me say this. If I'm the only black man in the room talking about it, damn it, I'm going to talk about it and fight it until I leave this joint. And I mean that. Because I ain't giving consent to this. I ain't giving consent to this. I ain't going along to get along. I ain't trying to be cool with everybody. For what? It's a classroom full of black males that can't read. Throughout every state in this country, there are black males in classrooms, on street corners, with drugs in their pocket, with pistols on them that can't read. How the hell am I going to give silence to that? How am I going to give consent to that? And brothers and sisters, you shouldn't give consent to it. We are uncomfortable in our neighborhoods because we given consent for death and murder and intimidation and poverty to come into our community. We've given consent to that. No, you don't want to say that, man. Big Mo, I ain't saying nobody can come in here and do that. You know what? But you sure hell ain't said nothing against it. You sit in your house and pop. Hell, we won't even go out and vote, so we don't even hold the politician accountable. The politician come around here, give a rah-rah speech, everybody be smacking the table and acting like it's all good. You take your dumb ass out and you vote for him. Did you know in a recent poll that they said 62% of black people felt that Joe Biden was doing a good job? Now, you talking about consent? 62% of black people feel Joe Biden is doing a good job. 52% of black people feel like Joe Biden is doing a good job. Hey, 62%. Did you know that over 20-something black folks just walked off this man's staff? Did y'all know that? Hey, black folks, did you know that this man is giving millions and billions of dollars away to illegal immigrants and anybody else that ain't dark skinned? Did you know that his vice president, Kamala Harris, Madam Vice President, that she just signed and organized a $1.9 billion deal for Central Americans? Did you know that? 62% of black folks out here giving their consent to President Biden? Did you know that they sending money? Hey, how about the Ukraine situation? They got war. They are busing Ukrainians. They are coming into this country. They are taking better care of foreigners and lawbreakers than they taking better care of our people. And you know why that's happening? It ain't because they white and we black. The reason that it is happening because we're giving consent to it. We're saying it's okay. We're giving them permission to do it. Because we are not standing up and saying nothing. Because we are silent. You know, I was listening to one sister. She was on the breakfast show and she was breaking down politicians and pastors. You know, she was talking about how they come in the room and they try to identify with you. And they try to give you their sucker story and their struggles and this, that, and the third. Joe Biden ain't never tried to give us no sucker story. You know what Joe Biden did? Joe Biden created the three strike law that locked up three generations of black men. That's what Joe Biden did. That's what Joe Biden did. That's what Joe Biden did. That's what Joe Biden did, and here it is. Here it is, because Obama smacked him on the back and kissed him in the mouth. We all sitting up here talking about 62% of us running around talking about he doing a good job. Black folks, wake up and quit giving consent to people kicking you in your ass. Quit being brainwashed. Quit being satisfied with the fact that somebody black and they look like they're in a position of importance and you think that's you. Nah, nigga, that ain't you, that's them. Man, y'all got to quit tripping, man. Y'all, we have to quit giving consent to the destruction of our people. Because that's what we're doing. We're giving consent to the destruction of our people. We are giving consent to the destruction of our people. Because we're not demanding nothing from the education system. We're not demanding nothing from the medical system. We're not demanding nothing from the employment system. We expect to be mistreated. We have been programmed to give consent to this. We give consent to politicians coming up in here every 4 years and lying to us. We don't even ask them what they gonna do. They come up there, you act like y'all at church. You act like you at church when it comes to politics. Hey, y'all, politics ain't church. I know we used to go in and hear big pastor preach and slap the pulpit and we running around foaming at the mouth, talking about we slayed in the spirit and praise God. But politics is not church. Politics is not church, family. Politics is not church. Politicians are supposed to bring a plan to you. Not act like, oh, we feel so sorry for you niggas. And it's just so wrong how y'all been mistreated. Matter of fact, I've been signing bills against you niggas all my time. I done signed taxes. I done signed bills that get you arrested more. I'm making the laws tough on you. I'm doing nothing but hurting you black folks. But what I want you to do for me, because I ain't did a damn thing for you. What I want you to do for me, I want you to vote for me and hope that I do something for you. I want you to vote for me so I can get this nice cush job and get this pension and not do a damn thing for you. We are giving consent to being mistreated. We're giving consent to be mistreated. We're giving consent for our children to be murdered in the street. We're giving consent to be mistreated by law enforcement. We're giving consent to be mistreated by the medical profession. We're giving consent to be mistreated by the housing situation. We're giving consent for our children to be undereducated. We're giving consent to be scared of the niggas that live in our neighborhood and look just like us, and we know they mama, but they sitting up here on the block, posted up, doing all this foolishness. We are giving consent to being terrorized. We're giving consent to it. Because silence is consent. And we Fidalgo show ain't standing up in the hood saying nothing. Because you scared Kingpin Big Homie gonna send somebody at you. Because you sitting up here bowing down till the snitches get stitches. But my question is, when you gonna get tired of the innocent catching bullets? When are you gonna get tired of the innocent catching bullets? You know what? I think a black man could walk up and shoot Obama right now. Y'all are crying foam at the mouth. But y'all ain't gonna do nothing. We ain't gonna do nothing. You know why? Because we used to black folks killing black folks. We give consent to us killing us. We give consent to black men being the number one killer of black men. We give consent. Mothers, daddies, grandmama, auntie, you need to be in the house loving your child, reading to your child, feeding your child, making sure your child is bathed, clean, in order, they look good, they feel good. But one thing that you need to be in that house telling them is, you need to be proud to be black. We are a strong people. You need to be talking to him about our history. You need to be building your children up. And your child need to understand that it is unacceptable for a black man to kill another black person. If we want black men to stop killing black men, then we have to stop giving consent to it. We have to stop believing that that's the way it is and it's the way it's going to go. Hey, man, it's time to wake up. Hey, you've heard it all before. Oh, it's time to wake up. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. Nigga, you ain't sleep. You just giving your consent. We ain't sleep. We going to work every day. Everybody in the room paying their taxes or running from them. So we ain't sleep. We going to the club. Hell, 2-3 people I know, they about to go to the Usher concert. Black folks ain't sleep. We riding clean. We driving caddies. We got nice houses. We creating kids. You ain't sleep if you having sex. You for damn sure ain't sleep. And don't tell me how spiritually and mentally we sleep. I don't want to hear that garbage. We ain't sleep. Quit playing these games. Black folks, we are fully aware of what's going on. The only thing is we have given consent to it. And the reason we've given consent to it, because we believe this is the way it's supposed to go. We believe that this is how it's going to be. That's why it's happening. It ain't because we sleep. It's because we giving consent. We're giving permission. We are allowing one to. That's what's going on, brothers and sisters. I'm not getting down with the program. I'm not going to close my mouth. I'm not going to get in line. I'm not about to sit up here and give consent to this dysfunction and act like it's all good, because it's not all good, brothers and sisters. And the question is, when will you stop giving consent to your destruction? When will you stop giving consent to the destruction of your people? When will we stop giving consent to our enemy? That's the question, brothers and sisters. And when you're able to make up in your mind and realize that question needs to get answered, that's when we will stop giving consent to the detriment of our people. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and thank you for listening to Hood Radio. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. And thank you for listening to Hood Radio. Peace. What up, Chicago?